Well, I don't know what's up with your pastor this week, but he hasn't picked on me hardly at all from the pulpit. Amen. I'm just sort of feeling a little bit down tonight. I don't know, preacher. I mean, you're letting me down here. And used to be you'd take my messages from one night and twist them around the next night. Amen. So I was never sure if he really knew what he was talking about. And to be honest, I'm still not sure. But, well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad you're here this evening. The book of Romans with me tonight, please. The book of Romans and chapter 12. Romans and chapter 12 this evening. I do want to say again, I appreciate this church and the fellowship here and just the friendship that has developed over the many years that we've been coming out here. And we get a privilege of, I preach in some churches. I've got a church in Michigan I've been back to every year. For 30 years, we've been on the road now in evangelism 30 years. My wife and I, we've been in the ministry full-time 40 years together. Been saved 45 years and married 45 years, amen. And we got saved just less than a month after I got out of prison. We got out of prison January 12th, January 12th, I think it was her birthday, 26th of January. Got out of prison August 12th, 1974. And got married on September the 6th, 1974. And somebody says, what was she thinking? She wasn't, amen. And she just fell in love with this good-looking fella up here, amen, that's what I say. And, well, you'd have to hear the whole story, and I'll just give you a brief of it. But a while back, we have an evangelist with our ministry, and his wife was talking, I believe it was a few ladies, Jenny, and she said, I got married twice. And we just sort of looked at her, married twice. And she says, my husband and I got married. And were they bound by Chicago? I think is where they got married or something like that anyway. But, they were married in another county, in Illinois. And so they got married in another county and the preacher told them after he married me, he said, this is illegal. He says, now we have to go back to the church and have to get married again, you know. And it's true. That was a law in the state of Illinois. And so my wife immediately when she heard this, she says to me, she says, you know, we got our license in one county and we got married in another county in Ohio. I said, well, yes, we did. And she says, well, maybe we're not married. And I said, well, if not, would you marry me again? She says, no. So she actually got on the phone and called, and I'm not sure why she called Pastor Bacino. I'm thinking she called to make sure that we were legally married, but I'm wondering if she was calling to see if she could get out of this thing. But well, we were fine, amen. Ohio did not have that law. Praise the Lord, amen. She had me sweating, hallelujah. Well, God's good, isn't it? Is he not good? Amen. God is good. And it is good to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you folks so much for the offerings and just for the time of fellowship in the evening and for your friendship these many years. And I want to thank this church for the support. You've not stopped all these years. You've been supporting me. I'm not sure how many years, Pastor Bacino, but many, many years, amen. You've been supporting me and it's like clockwork every year. I sure appreciate it. And appreciate your sacrificial giving. Many times we've been on the outs with something with a heart failure a couple of times, three times, and then open heart surgery, and then my back surgery a year and a half ago and put me on a commission for about 10 or 11 weeks. And then, I mean, just bang, 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 bang. And it seems like you always pull through to help us. And we want to thank you so much for that. For the help that you've been to our ministry and just continue to pray. I'd like to go until I can't breathe anymore. Amen. And, I hope it's not tonight, but, I'd like to get this finished here this week if I could. But if I do, Pastor, I'm just saying, if something happens where I do fall out up here, here's what I fear. Waking up 5 minutes later with some man with his lips on mine trying to wake me up. Let me go. Let me go. I'm just saying, you know, let me go. I had a fellow down in down in North Carolina. I said that, and he said, Brother Mike, he said, I'm an EMT. We know how to handle guys like you. I said, you do what we do. He said, just like this. So long, brother. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Well, God's good enough. Foolishness. Romans chapter 12 with me. And I'm glad your pastor likes to laugh, because I can't help but laugh. I look in the mirror and laugh, amen. But here in Romans chapter 12, would you stand with me for a moment, if you're able to, and if not, please just remain seated. But stand with me to read Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Most of you probably have these verses memorized. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is in your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove as that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Father, thank you tonight. I pray that you would use this message and speak to our hearts, Father, and draw some next to you, Father, and challenge us, Lord. And again, Lord, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, please, Father, speak to that one. Convict them, Father, where they need convicted, and show them their sin, Father. And God, I pray that you just have the honor and the glory now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I'd like to speak to you for a few moments, because as I look at these words and these verses, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your renewing. That begins with salvation, amen. That starts at the moment that you get saved. You begin to think different. If you have not begun to think different and you say you're saved, then you have a problem. I'm just letting you know that, because as soon as you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence and begins to make a difference in your life and shows you something. Well, you might not have known everything when you first got saved. When I first got saved, there's a lot of things in the Scripture that I did not know. Brother Vecino, I did not know that the world one time was covered with water. I heard that when I was a kid, but I was taught in science class that wasn't true, and guess what I believed after I got saved? My mind changed on that because of the very Word of God. When I first got saved, I did not realize that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. I knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and asked Him to forgive me for my sin, and then as I studied the Word of God and started attending a church, guess what? I found out that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one. Explain that, Mike. I cannot explain it. I believe it because the Bible teaches it, and that's what the Bible says. Amen. I told you the other night, that's about how narrow-minded I am right there, about an inch and a half. Amen. I got a friend, he says, he's so narrow-minded he can look through a keyhole, Brother Jimmy, with both eyes at the same time and see a straight line. Amen. That's very narrow-minded, isn't it? So, salvation takes place in life. Now, I want to speak a message to you this evening that I've entitled Evidence of Salvation. Evidence of Salvation. You know, there's many people in the world today. I have knocked on thousands of doors. Thousands of doors around this country. I've knocked on from Florida up through New England and Maine and all over the country. Papua New Guinea, knocked on some huts, amen, in Papua New Guinea, visiting people and tribes to try to get them to understand they needed to be saved by the very grace of God. But I hear people talk about being saved all the time, but when you watch their life, there's no evidence of what they say took place in here. See, if you say that you're a Christian, then there should be something coming out of your life that will show that you are a Christian. It's not just enough to say that you are something. There should be a lifestyle that goes along with what you say you are. Amen. I get so aggravated with people who say that they're Christians and they don't identify anything with God. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to be in Sunday school. They don't want to be in Sunday night. They don't want to be in Wednesday evening. They don't want to be in revival meetings. They don't want to be in missions conferences. They don't want to be involved. They don't want the pastor to visit them. But what they want to say, and they'll tell you, but I'm saved. And I'm a Christian, and I'm going to heaven, and use all these things today to try to excuse away their sin. Now, as believe they say, well, listen, I'm free. I got Christian liberty. Can I make a statement to you real quick? Christian liberty is not what people think Christian liberty is. We look at Christian liberty, the world looks at Christian liberty as that you can be saved and do anything you want. That's not Christian liberty. Christian liberty is that you have been set free from the bondage of sin to be able to choose the Savior over sin. That's Christian liberty. I have Christian liberty in Christ. Not to live wicked, not to be a drunk, not to be a wicked individual, not to be a whoremonger, not to be anything else, not to be a drug addict legally and say I can do this because now Michigan has passed a law like many other states now. They have legalized recreational marijuana now. And I tell people all the time, shame on you if you're smoking that stuff, amen. Shame on you because it's still a drug. I don't care what our government says. By the way, alcohol is just as wicked, amen. And just because it's legal for some to drink does not mean the Christian ought to drink it. Ought not to. The same way with drugs, amen. And the same way with a lot of other things in our life. The world says it's okay, and the Bible says not. Let me listen. Evidence of salvation, number one, if you're taking notes, write this down, is a changed life. A changed life. If the life has not changed, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said many, many, many times, he'd say, no change, no conversion. And what he was saying is if you say that you've been converted, but there's never been a change and you haven't been converted, he's not saying you have to be converted to be changed. He says, there, when you get converted, you will change. That's it. You don't change, you get converted. But when you get converted, you'll change. Well, there ought to be a difference in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A different individual, a different person, different than what you used to be. Trust me, you're glad tonight that I'm not what I used to be, amen. If I was, Pastor would not have me in his pulpit this evening, but I might be out through the parking lot going through your vehicles, but probably today you probably have somebody standing here watching out here, amen. Pastor Vecino shaking his head. But I could get a car pretty quick, brother, if I wanted to, maybe be out of the parking lot before they could come out the door and get me. I'm just simply saying that there's a change that takes place in your life when you get saved. There ought to be something different about you than your neighbor who's not saved. Different about you than the bank teller who's not saved. Something different about you than maybe a grandchild or somebody who's not saved. Something different about you than a person in the world who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's something different about you. When I first got saved, I got saved in that prison cell. The next morning, I had a fellow in the prison. I might have shared this here before if I had. Just humor me for a minute. If I haven't, it's been a long time. But his name was Chuck. And Chuck was in the cell across from mine. Chuck got saved in Lucasville State Penitentiary in the state of Ohio. And when I met Chuck, it was the fifth prison I was in when I met Chuck. And Chuck told me he had been saved in prison. I would never listen to him, you know, and I didn't want to have anything to do with him. Didn't want to really talk to him. We sort of became friends a little bit. Well, then when I was in Chillicothe, where he was at, State Pen in Ohio at the time, he was giving me the gospel, and I didn't listen. Other people were giving me the gospel. I really didn't listen. But the night I got saved, Carl Nolby wrote me a letter that day from Canton, Ohio, and I got on my knees in my prison cell, got saved by the very grace of God. I got up the next morning, I was in a one-man cell, I walked across the hallway, 12 to 15 feet away, 2 to 3 inch thick steel door, knocked on his door, he was sick, he had the flu, he looked like death warmed over, I mean, he was bad, and he said, who is this? I said, it's Mike. He said, well, come in. I opened the door up, and I walked into the cell, and I just looked at him, and I said, Chuck, you'll never guess what happened. And he looks at me, and he says, you got saved. I said, how do you know? There's no way you heard me pray, because I didn't pray like I preach, amen. There's no way. And so he says this, he looks at me, he says, I can see it in your face. Something happens. And I know we don't go by feeling, but I want to tell you what. I sure felt different when I got saved, amen. Felt good when I got saved. There's something that took place in my heart. It's called the Holy Spirit of God taking up residence at the moment of your salvation, amen. My friend, listen to me. If you've been saved, then there should be something different about you today than there was before you got saved. I'm not saying you're perfect, and I'm not saying I'm not perfect, but there's been a growth period. You're going to be growth in your life every day as a believer in Jesus Christ. A changed life is evidence of salvation. Now, you can change a lot of things in your life. It doesn't mean that you're saved, but what you say ought to line up with how you're living. There ought to be a difference. Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 says, "And put on the new man which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him," that created you. The image of Jesus Christ, the image of God, this Holy Spirit that takes up place. That's how you're living your life and what the people see in you as a child of God. There should be something different about you. 1 Peter 2, 5 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." How's your spiritual sacrifice? If you're a born again believer, there'll be something in your life that points people to Jesus Christ, that points people to God, who could be their Father if they would just simply put their faith and trust in Him. Well, don't only have a changed life. In fact, go with me just for a moment. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. And just look what this. Let's look what Ephesians says before I move on. This thought just came to my mind, and good verses here in Ephesians chapter 4. He makes this statement down in verse 22. Watch what he tells the church in Ephesus, who was a church that was struggling with some things he deals with in here. And he makes a statement in verse 22. He says to the church in Ephesus, and by the way, they were most of these people in Ephesus, most of them were Gentiles. They were not all Jewish people. These were a Gentile church. And Paul makes a statement to them. He says, listen, in verse 22, "that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." He said we are to put off the old man and put on the new man. There ought to be something different. There's struggles. Every born-again believer, every Christian, anybody who's ever been saved by the grace of God goes through some struggles in their life. And the flesh is continually fighting against the spirit. And one's pulling one way, and the spirit's pulling the other way, and they're beating heads continually. He said, put off that old man. That means get away from those things that hinder your relationship with God as a child of God. He said, put on a new. Best way to illustrate that is I'm looking out here tonight, and I don't see anybody in here this evening, I don't think anyway, that slept in the clothing you came to church in tonight. Anybody? I hope maybe you did. I don't know. I'm just simply saying, but this morning you got up and you literally took your bed clothing off and then you put them on. Now, it didn't happen like this. You didn't stand there and go, clothes off, clothes on. No, you had to work. The Bible says work out your own salvation. It has nothing to do with getting saved. It has nothing to do with keeping saved. But it has everything to do with how you live your life after you're saved. Work it out. He said, get off that old man. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Otherwise, we need to, and you can't do that, by the way, you can't do it, but you need to do it based according to His Word. Come back to what the Bible says to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. There should be a changed life. I think evidence of salvation. Another one is a convicted life. A convicted life. You ought to have some convictions about some things in your life. Now, I've said it before, and I try to be very careful with this, but by the grace of God, there go I, and only by the grace of God can I stay clean, Pastor Bacino. By the grace of God can I stay away from the alcohol. Only by the grace of God can I stay away from the drugs. I was a drug addict. Only by the grace of God I can stay away from the thieving. I was a thief. I wasn't a good thief. I went to prison twice, amen. By the way, there's no such thing as a good thief, amen. But I'm just simply saying that there's listen, by the grace of God, I never want to go back there. God has convicted me about some things in my life to the point that I had to be so careful, to the point, Pastor Vecino, that even when I had surgery, for my open heart surgery, I told the doctor, I said, listen, because I've had a heart cath without anything. Boy, was that painful, amen. We're going to give you your happy medicine. No, I don't want no happy medicine, amen. If you're going to do anything, knock me out and then give it to me, hallelujah. Let me wake up later on. I said, I don't want anything. Well, I lost my toe years ago. I told my wife, if I ever have to go to the hospital, they're not allowed to give me anything stronger than a local anesthetic in my foot or anywhere to numb the pain, and that's all they did. And she had to sign a paper for that. Why? Because I was so afraid that I'd go back and have that taste of those drugs in my mouth and in my life and in my heart and in my mind. I was so afraid. And by the way, I'm just afraid today. I'm not lying to you. I liked it. I liked that lifestyle. I liked that living. I did. I don't want it anymore. I don't like it anymore. And I don't want the taste of it anymore. We need to have some conviction in our life about some things that believers in Jesus Christ and say, by the grace of God, I will not do that. And by the grace of God, I'll stand strong. And by the grace of God, get some conviction in your heart and your life about some things that will help you to grow in the grace of God as a child of God. We need to grow in His wonderful grace. A convicted life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 with me. 2 Corinthians in chapter 7. He makes a statement in 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, beginning down in verse 8. Boy, Paul had dealt with some strong things in 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians. He goes to the book of 2 Corinthians, get to chapter 7. He makes a statement down in verse 8. He says, for though I made you sorry with a letter. He's referring back to 1 Corinthians. Remember what he talked about? He talked about everything, man. He was dealing with some things in 1 Corinthians. He was dealing with some fornication going through the church. And he was dealing with some wicked things and wicked thoughts in the house of God. He said, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Otherwise, I'm not sorry for what I said. But then he says, I did repent, meaning this, that I really didn't want to approach you with that, but I had no choice. I had no choice. Because, you know what Paul would say? Because what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. That's what he's dealing with. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. I mean, it made you sorry. And boy, your sin ought to make you, ought to be sorry for your sin. Hey, are you sorry when you're caught or are you sorry because of the sin? I said that in a church one time. I said, were you sorry because you're caught? I had a man come to me after the service in a Sunday morning, a 2-week meeting, brother. Sunday morning, first Sunday morning, he said this to me. He said, you said this morning, are you sorry because you were caught? Or you're sorry because you sinned. He said, I was caught with drugs in my truck. Ended up in a county jail. Ended up doing a little bit of time. His wife left him. Divorced. And she had the boy. Now he's out of jail. And he's getting some things right. Now they're living together. Not married. Somebody said, well, they were married the first time. They're not married. They were living together. And they needed to get married, amen. So he comes to me after that morning service. He said, Mike, he said, you said this morning, were you sorry because of your sin, because you were caught, or because of your sin? And I said, yep. He says, I was caught. I'm feeling sorry for myself, but not sorry for what I did. He said, and the preacher came through the jail and I bowed my head and prayed a prayer. He said, but there's never been a change. And you said this morning that there's never been a change and nothing, if there's never been a change, then you're not saved. I said, that's right. He said, can I tell you something? I said, what? He says, I know I'm not saved. And I need to get saved. So the preacher let me take him in his office and we sat down there and prayed. The next Sunday morning, him and his wife got remarried in the church. And him and his wife and son, remember Jenny, all three got baptized that morning, became members of that local church, amen. And listen, it's not because I said what they were doing was wrong, it's because the Holy Spirit of God, when he got saved, gave him some conviction in his heart, and it changed him. And salvation will change you. If it has not changed you, my friend, then you've got a problem. Just that simple. Just that simple. We've been playing with this thing of salvation too long, Pastor Vecino, and there's no conviction about sin in people's lives. And people just, they got this little idea going on in their head, this Jesus only movement out there, anymore is spreading across our country where it has nothing to do with God and has nothing to do with the Father and has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you what, my friend, the Bible says God draws you, God the Father draws, and it says the Holy Spirit convicts. It says Jesus Christ saves. They're all three active in your salvation. All three are active in your salvation. You can't have it any other way. If you've only had it with Jesus, it's only Jesus movement, and you're leaving God out of the equation, you're leaving the Holy Spirit out of the equation, I'm going to tell you, I'm just as hard-nosed about that as anything else, you need to be saved. Just that simple. Just that simple. Your faith has to be in Jesus Christ and Him alone, but it has to be by the drawing of God through the conviction of the Holy Spirit of sin in your life, that you might put your faith and trust in Him. You say, well, I did that, preacher, I was afraid of hell. That's right, but you were convicted about some things that made you afraid of hell. Amen. You heard me preach on that yesterday, how that God, and God saved you by His grace. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Well, about half of you. I'm just picking on you, please. I know everybody don't shout amen like I do. Hallelujah. Who said amen to that? Luke chapter 22, verse 61 says this. And the Lord turned. You remember Peter? Remember when Peter denied Christ? Now, Peter, I believe the Holy Spirit was moving, but the disciples had not yet received the Holy Spirit of God. That does not happen until after he raises from the dead, and he appears to them in the upper room, and he breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Peter, though, before that took place, had some conviction. I'll show you why. In Luke 22, verse 61, and when Peter denied the Lord, Bible says this, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And then the Bible says, and Peter did what? He went out and what? Wept bitterly. That means he was sobbing, man. He was crying before a holy God, recognizing what he had done. He had been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, I tell you what, my friend, you ever get under conviction? You don't have to put up your hand. You ever get under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. Convicted about giving somebody the gospel, convicted about something in your own life. He says the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 9, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Come back to Him. Get a convicted life. Get some conviction in your life about some things, amen. Some people are convicted about a lot of things in their life, but it's just not the right stuff. We need to be convicted about Holy Ghost, godly, living, righteous, pure things out of the very Word of God. Stuff that will draw us back to Him where we ought to be. If we have listen, my friend, a changed life, evidence of salvation, a convicted life, evidence of salvation, consecrated life, evidence of salvation. Your life ought to be it ought to be a holy life. It ought to be a pure life. It ought to be a consecrated life, a separated life unto God as a child of God. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, here's why. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He tell him, listen, it's written, be ye holy. And listen, that's for you and I today. That wasn't just for the Jewish nation and the Gentiles back 2,000 years ago. This is for the born-again believer. He said, God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, there's no way you're going to be as holy as God, amen. Well, that means when you know something is not right, don't do it. And when something is right, do it. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is what? Sin. So if you know what's right to do and you don't do it, he says it's sin. But we need to make sure our lives line up with the things of God, amen, as the children of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. And holy calling, not according to our works. He didn't call me according to my works. It says holy calling, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Otherwise, he had that plan in place before the world began that you would get saved. That's what he wanted, for you to get saved. And when he got saved, then he wants you to be holy as he is holy. That means there should be some conviction. Comes back to conviction. There should be some things in your life that bother you when somebody else is doing it. I worked in a shop for a while back when I was associate pastor in Muskegon, Michigan, and the guys would go into the they go into one of the rooms. There'd be four or five of us going there for lunch, and we had a foreman there. Pastor Bacino had a filthy mouth. He just had a filthy mouth. And so, you know, he comes in, he says, I just look at him, and I get up and I walk out. Take my lunch and go up on my table and sit down and I eat. You know, I told him I don't appreciate that language. He came out and he sat back to me, sat down next to me. I don't know what he wanted to say, but I wanted to give him any, I wanted to give him the time of day, amen. So he sat down next to me, he just sat there and ate part of his lunch and I ate part of my lunch. He said, I do know I'm doing good. And he got me left. Well, good. I'm glad. I never went back in that room to eat again. Amen. I'm glad he got up and left. Amen. You know, we ought to have some conviction about some things. I remember it was Bill Rice the first. John R. Rice's brother, if anybody knows who John R. Rice was from years ago. But his brother was an evangelist and traveled around the country and took a horse with him everywhere he went. And then he had one of the big old Marmaduke dogs too, amen. So he got Bill Rice Ranch in Tennessee today that they run that big ranch down there and do ministry with kids from all over the country that are deaf, cannot hear, and they do this big ministry with him. What a great ministry it is. But anyway, he was in a town one day and something had broke on his horse trailer where he was preaching, and so he had to go get something, a bolt and something else, I can't remember, I believe. And he walks to the hardware store, and at this hardware store, how many remember when you'd open the door, the little bell would go ding ding up there? Not the electric ones, amen. Not the ones you could short out, brother, and not work, you know. They knew you were coming with it, and then they would go ding, and he walks in, and there were some guys up front, and they heard the dinger, and one of the guys up front said there was like four or five guys up there, and they said they were just up there hee-hawing, and the one guy, the owner, I guess, of the store made this statement. He says, all right, fellas, listen, let's quiet down and watch our language. Might be a lady stepping into our presence. They did not see who it was. We don't have that respect anymore, do you, ladies? Shame on men, amen, that have filthy mouths that will not quiet down in front of a lady. But he stepped into the press. He heard what they said. He stepped in. He said, no, he says, it's not a lady in your presence, but it's a gentleman. Amen. We need to have some conviction, don't we? When somebody starts talking like that, we ought not to be afraid. I had a young man right over here in Winsted, Connecticut one night. We pulled into the McDonald's or Burger King or something there. I think it was a McDonald's. And we're walking out the parking lot. This fellow just starts using some filthy, filthy, filthy language. And he's buying, I don't know who he's talking, maybe he was on the phone, I don't know, I can't remember. But I just turned around and looked at him and said, sir, I said, please stop it now. Just stop it, you know. And he just looked at me and he began to say, I said, no, you just need to stop it. And then he said, I said, you know, I said, I don't know what it is here in Connecticut, but in the state of Michigan, I said, we have a law that for filthy language is a misdemeanor offense. And you could get arrested for that and go to court for it. He said, well, my uncle is a state highway patrolman. I said, I don't give a rip who your uncle is, amen. Watch your language, amen. So my wife will tell you, I've done this a few times with a few people. I just don't, you know, let's get some conviction, amen. Let's get some conviction. Hebrews 12:10 says, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasures. That's how our fathers chastened us after their own pleasures. And when we did something wrong, Brother Vecino, you might have disciplined Anthony for something different than I would have disciplined Kale for, amen. I might have knocked Kale out, amen. And you, my wife told Kale one time, she said, you know, I'm not looking forward to the day when your dad has to take you out in the backyard. And he looks at her and he says, I'm not looking forward to that day either. Like he knew it was going to happen. I mean, you know, it should have been, no, I ain't got to worry about that. No, I just ain't looking for that day either, you know. Well, I tell you what. But our parents are disciplined according to their own pleasure. Watch. When we step out of the line, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness, a consecrated life. And then not just a convicted life and a consecrated life and a changed life, but if you have a changed life and a convicted life and a consecrated life, you'll have a convincing life. You see what I mean, a convincing life, Brother Mike? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Amen. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Isn't that true? In New Guinea, they never put their villages on top of the mountain. Their villages were always down in the valley. And there was a reason for that. A reason for that. Because other tribes, when you have over 800 separate languages, not dialects, but separate languages, And you would see another tribe up here on a hill that you had, if you knew where they were at, you'd be there in a heartbeat. If you're in a valley and you got people out watching, you can see them when they're coming. Amen. They can sneak up on you other times. But I'll tell you what, he said, a city that sits on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it underneath a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now your good works don't save you. See, but there should be some good works in your life. A convicted life, a consecrated life, a changed life will begin to convince people around you that that's what they need. You know, can I tell you, I knew the Christians who were in the school I grew up with. I knew the ones that I knew were Christians anyway, where I grew up, because they were different than me. Brother Vecino, they didn't go and hang out where I hung out. When they were 16, they weren't going to the bar where I hung out. They weren't going to the dances where I went. They weren't going to the places that the rest of us hung out. They weren't doing the drugs like the rest of us. They did not go to the parties where the drunks all went, brother. They did not come. We'd go to a party every Friday night. They never went to the parties where we went. Why? Because there was something different about them. Something different, amen. I'm trying to tell you that there needs to be something different about you if you say that you are saved. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation. You're chosen. A royal priesthood. Boy, God sure looks at us different than we look at ourselves, don't he? This is a royal priesthood, he says. And holy nation, a peculiar people. I talked about that word on Sunday for just a moment. Peculiar, being above average, being different, being beyond normal. We are to be different as the children of God. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We ought not to want to walk in darkness anymore. We ought to want to walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, Brother Micah, are you perfect? No. I want you to understand. There's many times in my own Christian life in 45 years where I've had to fall on my knees and my face before God and ask Him to forgive me for my stinking, rotten attitude. When I'm going down the road, Brother Jimmy, and I get somebody pulls in front of me in a little car, I'm doing 65, 70 miles an hour, going downhill. I got to make the next hill. They pull in front of me and they slow up. What is with that? Amen. Good night. If you're passing me, keep on going. I told my wife, I said, I want to put a train horn in the front of my truck, and when you do that, I'm going to scare them half to death. She says, go ahead, and the next rest area, pull them behind them and give them a track. She ruins my fun all the time. Amen. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and harmless. Amen. There's been times in my Christian life where I have not been blameless and times where I have not been harmless. I'm not talking about harmed. I'm talking about damage you do to somebody else by what you say, how you behave, when the anger pops up. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I've been there with you. I've been there. The sons of God without rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I can't shine if I'm walking in darkness. Can't shine if I'm not doing what God wants me to do. Can't shine if I'm not living a changed life, Pastor. Can't shine if I'm not living a convicted life. Can't shine if I'm not living a consecrated life. It'll never be convincing to those around me. I want people to know what Jesus has done in my life. Ephesians 5 verse 8 through 10 says this, for ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were. You know, not everything you always did was real wicked, ungodly, impure things. He said you were sometimes. Some of us were all the time. Amen. But some, you were sometimes darkness. He doesn't say in darkness. He didn't say walk in. He said, ye were sometimes, for ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Boy, my life ought to prove what's acceptable to God. Amen? It ought to. It ought to. By the way, yours should too. Amen? Amen. Yours should too. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I know I did not say a lot about salvation tonight, but I want to ask you this question. No one looking around, let me ask you a question. Here's the question. If you can say, Mike, I know I'm saved. Mike, I've been born again. Mike, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I know if I died, I know I'm going to heaven. Just put up your hand, would you please? Put it way up in the air. Put it way up in the air. Hold it up. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. You can put them down. If you could not put up your hand, just listen to me for a moment. If you could not put up your hand, if you could not, when I ask that question, I'd like you to do this favor for me. Just look up here. Now, if you're going to look, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're not, just look right where I'm at. If you're not sure about your salvation, you could not raise your hand that you're saved. If you could not, just look right up here where I'm at. About it right now. Look right at me. Look right at me. All right. Don't say anything, okay? And don't, just not to embarrass you or anything else. Just with a shake of your head. You're not sure that you're saved. Am I correct about that? Let me ask you one more question. Would you like to be sure? All right. Would you step out this evening when we give, other people will come. So just not to embarrass you. And we'll have someone talk with you, okay? We'll have someone talk to you in just a few minutes. Anybody else? Look up here where I'm at. Look. Come on. You could not raise your hand. Could not raise your hand.
This is a serious time. Could not raise your hand. Are you saved? Yes, no? All right. If you're looking, I'm going to ask, you know. So, anybody else? Anybody else? Second question. I know I preached some hard things tonight. Trust me, I wanted to preach another message, Pastor Bacino. I did, but the Lord would not let me do it. So, tonight, the Lord spoke to your heart. Would you be honest with me? I mean, I'm honest with you. Would you be honest with me tonight? Right now, the Lord spoke to your heart. You just slip up your hand and say, pray for me. How about it? Come on. God bless you. Others, come on. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Others, how about it? The Lord spoke to your heart tonight about some things. How about it? God bless you. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? Just a few hands went up. How about anybody else? Let's be honest. Let's be honest tonight. Father, I thank you for these who raise their hand. Lord, I pray, work in their heart and help them, Father, tonight to get some things settled with you, that you would have all the glory and all of the honor. And Father, for this one that looked up tonight, I pray, give them strength, Father, as they step forward this evening, that we will have someone that can share with them and show them how they can know for sure that they have eternal life. Help them tonight, Father, and we'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord spoke to your heart. I want you to slip out of your seat right now. You come right up to the altar. There's some cushions underneath the front of the front pews you can kneel down at. Listen, you come. Come on. You raise your hand. Slip out and come. God bless you. The one that looked up at me a minute ago, would you look up here again just for a second? Look up here where I'm at, please. Ma'am. How about it right now? We'll get someone to talk to you. Don't shy away, please. Don't shy away. If the Lord spoke to your heart, it'd be a terrible thing for you to leave here tonight not knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. About tonight, would you slip out and come? Join these who have already come up here this evening. No one's looking. No one's looking. No one's looking, only me. How about it? Would you slip out and come? We'll take you aside somewhere and show you how you can be saved. That way you know without a shadow of a doubt if your life ends, that you have eternal life in heaven.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to help each and every one who's come forward tonight, been convicted. And Lord, you know what it is, and it's between you and them. But oh God, Mike and I know, unite our hearts together and ask that you be a blessing to them and help them and guide them. And if there is one here tonight who's not sure that they would go to heaven when they die, God, give them the boldness and the courage to come forward and ask. Lord, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to substantiate some of the things I enjoyed Mike preaching about tonight. And that is, if you're saved, you ought to have a change in your life. Amen. You ought to be going around cursing and cussing and misbehaving. And when you do get saved, people will know. I'll never forget, never as long as I live, we had been praying for my father to be saved. I don't know how many years. My wife and I were returning from a volleyball tournament that we were involved with our church, as I was a youth pastor then. And we pulled into a supermarket and we parked. And here's my father pushing a shopping cart coming out the main doors. I saw him. My wife saw him. I turned to her. She turned to me. And we said at the exact same time, he got saved. We could see it on his countenance. If you get saved, there will be a difference. Because God wants to make a difference.
Yep.
And in our language, too.
Amen. Amen.
Many years ago, I worked in the... Mark might talk about the hardware store. I worked in the hardware store after Bible college for 3 years. And we had some rough characters come in there, Mike. And they could cuss up a storm. And Ted was our owner, and he didn't appreciate that. But one day, a guy comes in, and he would happen to come up to me, and he says, I want a God blankety blank 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 check valve. And I'm like, here we go. And he just kept it up. And I said, sir, we don't have that. What? You working on what kind of hardware blankety blank is this? And he just kept it up. And I said, well, we have regular ones. And he didn't like that. So, you know, he just kept it up. So I just said, well, I'm not going to serve you, sir. I'm sorry. Well, then somebody else blankly blank will. So Ellis Jones, Mike knows Ellis Jones. He went there to arrest him one day. Anyway, that's another story. But Ellis, who was the manager, came out and he went just like this. I ain't serving you either. Then Ted, who's the owner of the store, he comes out, he stands next to me, and he goes, I ain't serving you either. Then Jim, who was our plumbing manager, he comes out and he goes, I ain't serving you either. Never forgot that. Brothers in Christ standing
Amen.
Together.
Amen.
He said, now if you don't clean up your mouth, we'll be happy to serve you. Oh, and the other thing, he was cussing at us because we had family radio on the radio station.
Yeah.
We ought to stand together, amen?
Amen.
We ought to support one another. It comes to the things of Christ. Why we're falling apart in this country, because we're caving to peer pressure. We don't want to take a stand for what we believe and who Jesus Christ is. Like how Mike tonight told the truth. There's a Jesus-only movement. You can't be saved unless God draws you, Christ saves you, and the Holy Spirit keeps you. Amen?
Right. Amen.
I appreciate Mike's message. Well, we're gonna close in just a short word of prayer. I'm going to invite everybody to the hall. And hope that you'll stay for a few minutes, have some fellowship, and pray for the message for tomorrow night. It's our last evening. But pray that God will truly move upon all of us. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the message that Brother Mike preached to our hearts, Lord. And if we're honest and transparent before you, we all needed it. In some area in our lives, we needed that message, Lord. Thank you for him and bless him. And bless the refreshments we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Just you made me think of this.